following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Welcome to the Leader Breakthrough podcast. I'm Patrick, and this is where we help you get from where you are to where you need to go. This is part two of an interview Terry Walling is doing with Robert Grant around the critical issue of finishing well, and you can find more resources at leaderbreakthrough.com. Terry, why don't you take it away?
Great. Well, welcome, everybody. You know, our Leader Breakthrough podcasts are all designed to try to help you continue to navigate the lifelong journey. Many times we'll view our development or even the topic of leadership more situationally, but really it is lifelong. God is shaping us over our lives for a unique and ultimate contribution. You know, one of the things I say over and over again in my different teachings and times when I'm with people is that there's never been a time God hasn't been at work in each of our lives. The question is not whether God's at work. The question really is, what is God at work doing? And do we have the courage to join him in that work? And you know, that phrase never more applies than in the end game, because a lot of times those who actually want to finish well and who want to live out a life and hear "well done, that good and faithful servant," actually come up on some obstacles at the end, some obstacles that would cause them to say that maybe I'm done, maybe I should just leave it now to the younger, and oftentimes maybe I really don't have that much to offer. And that's a tragedy, because when you get to the end, you have these deposits, these things I call and we call entrustments that God has given to you, that if we can understand what they are, they can be passed on to others to do it even better in the days ahead. And that really is what the finishing transition is trying to do, to set a person up to now discover again that this actually could be one of the most important segments of their life, to be able to steward what God has given to them and actually give it to others who will extend the kingdom of God in ways they never could. And so I have Robert Grant with me, a good friend of mine. One of the things I appreciate about Robert is that he has gotten to the end game and gone through this finishing transition, and that the outcome has been he has actually become more passionate about who Christ is, about going deeper in his journey, about learning. He constantly tells us he's got so much more that he's got to do. He's alive, and that is what I think. If you want to be an encouragement to younger leaders, that's what younger leaders are looking for. They're looking for men and women who actually are more in love with Jesus at the end and in the beginning. They're more passionate about Christ's mission, and they're more sacrificial of time, talent, and treasure. That's a definition of finishing well. And when a young person sees that, who's a believer in an older believer, all of a sudden they engage in ways that says, I'm going to get to the tape too and to finish well. So, Robert, welcome. Good to have you. How about just, hey, tell us a little bit where you live, who you're married to. Give us a little bit of bio quickly as we launch into this part two of our podcast on finishing.
Moved to Pawleys Island, South Carolina from Colorado 8.5 years ago. I was invited to move here by the head of an organization, a ministry organization, to head up a national position on leadership development.
Right.
And so I thought, great opportunity for someone who's in their mid to late 60s. And so I moved into that role here and was very grateful for the opportunity to touch people all over this country. Well, in the course of this, I ran into something that I wasn't expecting, and that is age discrimination. People were looking at me like, aren't you retired? Shouldn't you be retired? Why don't you retire? And I could tell in their mind, I was retired.
And now that had nothing to do with either the white, beautiful crop of hair that is kind of diminishing up top, or that you moved to Pawleys Island, right? They were just laying that cultural lens or that cultural blanket up on top of you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that, and people were looking past me to younger leaders who had what was perceived to be more sizzle than what I did at 67. But I knew that I had the goods, that I probably could do the job better. But nonetheless, people were looking past me, which then caused me to begin questioning in my own mind, am I really up for this? I feel like sometimes I'm walking around with a T-shirt that says I'm invisible.
Right.
So it started messing with me a little bit.
It actually impacted your attitude, and it actually began to even sow some doubts in terms of maybe you are done and maybe you're just going to be, I know the phrase you use all the time is maybe you've just been relegated to the bench. Really did mess with you emotionally.
It confronted me with some very, very important issues, which I know that you would like to touch on. I was left with this sense of questioning my own identity, questioning my contribution, and whether or not there really was meaningful life beyond my current environment and my current ministry situation.
Well, the thing I've discovered, and you and I have discovered, Robert, together, is we've coached lots of people and even developed the resonance process. By the way, if you need to work through this stuff, there's not only the book finishing, but there's the resonance process, which you can find at leaderbreakthrough.com, and there's online that'll walk you right through. But the bottom line, what we found was that, you know, this sense of doubt that starts creeping in needs to be counteracted with a sense of wait. God loves us too much to allow us to do that, and he issues or he launches and initiates the finishing transition. And you and I walked through that. I was privileged to be your coach to kind of walk you through, and you were older than me, and you were experiencing something I had yet to experience. So you gave me the privilege of saying, if you'll walk with me, Terry, I need to go there, which says to a lot of you who are coaches out there, you can coach somebody that's ahead of you if they're willing and if they have the desire. So we entered into a coaching relationship, but kind of first describe, where were you, Bob, personally, at the front end of this transition? You talked about it in our other podcast. Elaborate a little bit. What is it that you actually found yourself struggling with when we talk about these doubts and some of these questions?
Used the term bench. I felt benched. Bench means for me, I'm out used to running plays between the lines and scoring touchdowns. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a place of relative inactivity.
Right.
And I was restless, and I was twitching. I did not like it. I found myself saying, hey, coach, put me in.
Right.
I can do this. But it wasn't happening. And what that confronted me with, Terry, was the degree to which my identity was wrapped up in what I did and how I was performing. I need to be candid with you and said, if you had asked me directly, so do you get your identity from what you do? I would probably have said, no, not so much.
Right.
I had to face the reality that too much of my identity, way more of my identity was wrapped up in what I did rather than just who I was, quiet and still in the presence of God.
Well, let's talk about that, because really as we dove in, and you began to admit, and even I put some labels on it that said, there's this thing called a transition. It's an in-between period of time. By the way, you're headed to a major phase, even though it doesn't feel like it, called convergence. So how did you get to that place of that deeper realization? Because I remember us walking back through your journey a little bit and walking back through some past experiences and things that you used to get me up to speed. And then you start talking about things that all of a sudden we began to track a little bit of that source, that identity came from what you did versus who you are. Talk a little bit about that, how we came to that realization.
Well, first of all, it was repeated conversations. It wasn't one conversation. It was a period of time where you as a coach would help me revisit that, challenged me to consider what did life look like beyond my current ministry boundaries.
Right.
And you kept encouraging me to look at a broader place of influence. Which I did do, but it took more than one conversation.
Yeah, I would say encouragement is a kind word right there. There were a few moments when actually I had my feet in your back saying, come on, man. There's definitely more than even your current assignment. I remember that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you thought it was just a gentle nudge.
Well, it seemed like a gentle nudge anyway. You may have thought you've been using dynamite, but it worked. It kept moving me forward and thinking into what God had yet out in front of me. It also, this I must say, has to do with the value of coaching in my own life. It helped interpret my current circumstances and the current cultural setting, the tone and direction of ministry as I was experiencing it. It helped interpret that in such a way that, one, helped me feel normal, helped me to realize that there's nothing wrong with me, and that anybody at this point in life is going to go through these things.
Right.
And then to begin to appreciate the way God was bringing so many things together that had real value, that had been working in my life all these years, and gave me new hope for a future that was going to be rich and fulfilling.
And, you know, Robert, one of the things that I think we came to, because remember, an evaluation process begins after you enter into a transition. An evaluation leads to alignment.
Right.
And one of the things that it felt like we hit on that was pretty big was the need to bring some closure. I mean, one of the reasons why people can't go forward is because they haven't closed some chapters or some issues in their journey that could be holding them back. And so, therefore, the doubts start to creep in. And I remember that moment as pretty significant as we were coaching you through the finishing transition. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Terry, critical to that was the challenge to engage a resolution process.
Right.
And that resolution process not only brought me to the place of being able to articulate and speak of things that happened in the past, which had an effect on me and was continuing to have an effect on me as I looked into the future.
Right.
And the challenge to go through this resolution process brought me to the place where I actually would not only be able to speak about it, I would be able to write it out, write it down, and come to the place of being clear in my mind about what I must carry forward into the future and what I dare not carry forward into the future.
Okay.
And that process brought me to a place where I was genuinely and sincerely free from the grip of it, realistic about the fact that it did happen,
right,
but being clear about moving forward into the future, into the future with the best that could be derived from the circumstances.
You know, I find as I coach individuals, sometimes there are these moments. And so what you're really referring to was there was a key issue that you needed to go back and actually revisit in order to be able to move forward and bring closure to that assignment that you were in that actually was difficult at parts of it. Some of it really good, but some of it difficult. And that happens to us sometimes. One of the reasons that we do coaching is to help somebody be able to articulate their journey. And sometimes focus comes through articulation. When people start talking about their story, they begin to realize some things they never knew about their story until they've had a chance for someone come alongside to believe them and help them actually interpret their story. So
this might sound like an oversimplification, Terry, but a key there is having somebody that's interested enough in you to ask you about that story and that part of the story and invite you to speak about it and talk about it.
Right.
Most leaders do not have that opportunity.
They don't have a safe place and they don't have a safe person. So oftentimes it's just spinning inside of them. And this is in particular with all individuals as we journey with Christ, but especially in the end game, being able to look back and see the things God's given us, but also determine there might be a few things that are holding us back in order to move forward. So we kind of walked our way through that evaluation and alignment, and your journey, Robert, as you walked through that was pretty significant, because I would say up to that point in time, you were kind of processing this stuff cerebrally, but after this period of time, you started processing this stuff passionately and internally. It's like almost you broke free. When did you know that all of a sudden you could go forward? When is it that as you were walking through, because remember the transition goes from entry, evaluation, alignment to direction. When is it as you were walking through your finishing transition that you began to see kind of daylight and know that, okay, I could approach this end game differently than I've been thinking about it? Does anything stand out to you?
Yes. Recalibrating to the person of Jesus, living less out of a horizontal frame of reference. That is what other people thought. What other people thought I should be doing, or past experiences and encounters, which had an effect upon me. And being able to get clear about those things, come through to being quiet and still be able to sit on the bench and say, Lord, it is okay. Wow. It's okay. You alone are enough for me.
Right.
And I'll tell you this. This is personal. It's intimate. But there was one early morning hour, probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, when I was awakened. And I had the sense that Jesus alone was enough. And in that moment, I felt truly like a God-defined, non-anxious presence that was not concerned about doing a dance when there's no music playing. And I just said out loud, Jesus, you alone are enough.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, you know, I think we think at the end even, we're supposed to kind of have this Yoda mentality where we have all the answers, and that moment of fresh surrender that he is enough and you didn't have to actually come up with, think of, or actually present a front to people that you had now what they needed. Honestly, I think that granted you an authority that now I've seen you actually use to touch many, many people's lives. That intimacy,
That is so liberating.
Yeah.
It is so liberating to use Leader Breakthrough's word, breakthrough. I mean, it was truly a breakthrough, a life-changing breakthrough for me to be able to look at the future, realizing that God is the one who is leading, guiding, and he is the one that's defining who I am, and not a whole lot of doing dances for people.
He was enough, and his presence is enough. And that presence and enjoying him at the end game is really kind of what it's supposed to be, as opposed to this quest to try to achieve and continue to establish who you are. One final comment to you. You know, at the end of a transition, we say faith challenge. At the end of the transition, we say, you know, the bottom line is we've got a lot of things that are still unknown. What's been the faith challenge for you and Sue as you've lived out now the end game And what is it that you've had to continue, even at the end, to trust him with as you seek to finish well? Anything stand out to you?
Well, it's a matter of being willing to step into territory that's unknown, unfamiliar, doors that get open that you weren't expecting. And now the challenge is, what am I going to say no to so I can say yes to the right things? Amen. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Yep. It's exciting.
Yep, it is good. It is good.
Robert, I got a question for you. You've known me my whole life and my parents before I was born and seen me in a lot of different leadership situations. But as a young leader, what encouragement would you give into the issue of finding identity in doing and position influence, knowing that that's not right, the best thing? And is there something or some way that me and the leaders around me could live or grow that would set us up well for that convergence transition?
Well, first of all, I think, Patrick, that young leaders need to be thinking about finishing well at the beginning. No runner starts a race without the finish line as a consideration. So young leaders need to be thinking more about what finishing well looks like, even though that's not the predominant theme that's in front of them. They want to understand what God's calling them to do. They want to rise and move in an ascending place, fulfilling that calling. But in the back of their mind, they need to be thinking about what finishing well looks like. And of course, the chief factor there is that we love Jesus more at the end of our journey than we do at the beginning. But also, I will say, Patrick, that I think it's vital to associate yourself with leaders that are not just trying to get you to buy into their vision, but there are leaders who are committing themselves to help you understand who you are in Christ, what God is calling you to do, where your best contribution is going to be made, what puts a smile on your face, and ultimately are concerned about you being successful at what God has called you to do. Find leaders that are worth following and that are committed to your success.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks for that, and thanks for joining us on this podcast. This is the Leader Breakthrough Podcast, where we help you get from where you are to where you need to be. And for additional resources, please go to leaderbreakthrough.com, and we will see you next time.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.